There's been there's been a lot of shuffling. Just was a lot of the early part of the season just trying to figure out what the best combination up front would be, you know.
Well, you know, listen, we have a lot of talented players on the team. Quite a few of them do things in practice that make you or make the staff say, hey, this guy deserves a chance to show what he has in game time. You know, I think we kind of examine everything. A lot of guys have, like I said, they've done well leading up into things and into games. I don't know that there's any, again, magical formula with that. You just try to get good players on the field, and we have a lot of guys that work very hard and show that they have talent.
Can you pinpoint, Dave, a time where you felt like the combination of you coming in with the players and that it sort of meshed, you know, because there's always a process there for the players to get used to?
I never really found an issue with mesh. I know that seems to have been a topic, but I never found that. And these are professionals. I've had quite a bit of interaction since I got here in January. Not one of them has expressed any inability to mesh. I think we have a good group, a lot of good personalities, a lot of serious thinking men, and I think that we have a good working relationship. And when you really want to look at it, we have a good time doing what we do. And I think as we go along, we're having even more fun because there is success involved a little bit. You know, I mean, we still have a lot of things to work on. And we're all working hard, myself included, to be better at what we do. And I think the guys have stayed focused. They've kind of kept themselves out of what's going on around the building and kept focused on what's going on in the building.
When I meant mesh, I didn't necessarily mean that it wasn't working as much. It's just that when you have a different voice, it's like a different teacher, you know, in class. I think about school. You have one teacher you're used to hearing for 14 years, whatever, and then a new teacher comes in. There's adjustment period is what I really meant by that.
Yeah, no,
I didn't know if you felt...
No, same response.
Was it difficult to adjust the late training camp trade of Logan, or were you kind of braced for that might happen?
It's professional football, and I've been at other teams where things have happened, and you learn over time that that's professional football. I've been in situations in the past where I walk in on Wednesday and three guys are gone, or three new guys are in the chair, and I wasn't even told who they were or where they came from. I introduce myself, and away we go. That's pro football. It's the difference between pro and college, where you have 15 guys in the room, and you get to bring them up from young kids, and, hey, bring a guy in, you play. Lose a guy, you play. Whether he goes by trade or goes by injury, sometimes guys leave, sometimes guys come. It's just how it is.
It seems you've settled on the Connolly, Stork, Wendell combination in the middle. What do you like about pairing those three guys up together?
Well, I don't know that we've settled on anything. It just seems to be those are the guys that have played. And I have a lot of really talented athletes in there, some really smart guys. Both Connolly and Wendell have played center. I think that has a calming effect on Stork, being a young guy, that they can communicate well together. But there are a lot of talented guys in the room, and these guys just happen to be playing the last couple games together. And all our guys are now at a point where it doesn't matter who's in there. They'll operate. And in the beginning, maybe that was a little bit unnerving to maybe the tackles where, hey, there's a new guy there. Well, now they know. That's how it is. Every day, every play of practice could be a new guy standing there. And be a pro. Do your job. And they all have to play at a certain level. If one guy's playing at a high level, another guy is, quote-unquote, learning, that's a problem. So now we're getting up to speed with all the guys, bringing everybody up to a level where they can function together and not worry about who's coming in and who's not coming in.
Sure. Brian Stork is a guy through camp, and the season has in and out of the lineup, certain injuries, whatever. What kind of development have you seen from him?
Well, he's a natural center. I mean, the coach drafted him to be a center. And we bounced him around a little bit in camp, trying to play guard, trying to play some center. And he's serious about his craft, works at it, it's important to him. He's big and tough and strong. I think everybody's noticed the strength in the middle with him in there. But he's learning. He's a puppy compared to some of these other guys. And that's why it's nice to have an older guy around him to kind of help him through the confusing looks, if you will. And they've managed well. And he's done a really good job of studying the game plan, being in tune with it. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes, which is nice.
Yeah.
In the first 4 weeks of the season, I don't know if you'd agree, but it seemed like there were some struggles with the offensive line. When that happened, a lot of people look to the coach and say, what's going on here? And one of the outside criticisms, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, was last year you were doing what we were doing, I think. I don't know if that's even accurate. Yeah, I'm curious how that experience that you had last year maybe helped you not care, compartmentalize. You know what I mean? That criticism.
Listen, you take pride in what you do. I take pride in what I do. I think everybody that is a true professional, no matter what profession it is, wants to do well. But it's not about me. It's about my men and how they perform out there. And as a coach, you get disappointed when your players go out on national TV and every week in the NFL you're on national TV in some way, shape, or form. But when your players go out and they do poorly, I don't feel bad for me. I feel bad for them because they're the ones out there working. I can't do what they do. I tell them that all the time. I can only help guide them. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help them in the process. I feel bad when things go wrong for them because I know how hard they work and I know how much they put in. My feelings towards it, I understand how the media operates. I understand you all have a job to do, and I was, like you say, doing the same thing, if you will, in a little different way. But I understand that. Does it affect me less or more because I did that? I don't know that I can say that, but at the same time, I just want to make sure. All I care about is that my men come out of a game like they did after last game and say, Coach, I feel good. I'm healthy. I did it right. We had success. You know, was it perfect? No. But they have an energy to go back and fix the things that were wrong. That's what you want. When it's not good, they don't have the same. It's hard for them to regenerate and get motivated to fix things when there are so many things to fix.
Good recorder security.
I appreciate that. I've been working on it.
Yeah.
Having a lot of veterans on the line, has that helped work through whatever issues you guys may have had this year?
No, I mean, veterans, young. I mean, we don't treat anybody here like, you know, they've been around 10 years or been around a year. There's a level of play that has to be achieved, and a level of professionalism that's expected here. If it's not, then those guys are either weeded out or they're, you know, conform. They'll find a way to get them to conform to what we do. I, myself included, I'm trying to, every day I learn more and more about how we do things here. And, some guys have been here a long time, some guys have been here a short time. It's just, veteran or not, I think veteran guys have an ability to go out on a game day and make some adjustments that maybe a young kid hasn't experienced yet. But in terms of all the meshing, if you will, I don't think that's as big a factor as people play up.
Did you hear the noise earlier in the evening? Just sorry, when it was thought, Dante's not there anymore, Horace, it's not going to work. Did you hear it, or no pun intended?
Yeah, I mean,
can you block it out?
Yeah, you know, like Tom said, you know, there's everybody has an internet, everybody has a newspaper, or everybody watches television, but more my family than me. I understand the business. When you work in this league, you know, 10 years in the league, I've been with some teams that were pretty good, some teams that were pretty bad. And, you know, when the teams are bad, that's what happens. When your unit isn't playing up the farm, that's what happens. And it was all right for my family to deal with that when I was in another state. But it's different when your last name is posted on a newspaper, you know. And it just, I think everybody's really starting to understand, including my family, that's how it is. And that's business. That's whether it's, you know, hey, listen, you're a farmer and you have bad rain, your crops are terrible. I mean, it's just, what can you do? You have to keep working through it and find a way to make a living, you know, and I think we've done that here.
Was that the first time that, you know, you open the paper and then, you know, for your family, they can see your name attached to something that was maybe negative at the time and you were like, hey, this is kind of how it is. This is how it's going to be here.
It's the first time because I'm coaching at home for the first time in a high-profile role. And that's part of the business. And like I said, when I was in Miami or at the Jets, you know, it was a different feeling. You know, this is also my friends, my family. This is their team. and it affects people differently because it's their team. You see what I'm saying? This is part of their everyday experience. They live for the Patriots. They live for Sundays. And I understand how maybe my... how it's portrayed, my job is being done, it affects their team as much as it affects their cousin or brother or husband.
So is there like more weight of, you know, you have great games, is it like, Dave, you're doing a great job, or it's from your friends, and then you have other games where they're like, Dave, what are you doing?
You know, I guess those that have better access to you,
sure.
Sometimes they feel like they have a freedom to text you with comments that express their frustration, and it's part of the business. It's part of what it is. I don't mind it. I pretty much delete it and ignore it, and or respond with humor. I mean, it's just people outside of the building don't understand how the business works. So it's, you know, I can understand their reaction is different than mine.
You guys went up against some very great, you know, good pass rushers early in the year. I'm thinking about Cameron Wake and Tamba Ali.
You mean to tell me we're not going to face
all,
anymore?
They're all
that would
okay.
be great if we weren't going to face anymore.
They're all good.
Yeah.
I know, but I was thinking about it in the context of Nate Solder, because just, you know, again, not...
getting better every day. Right, but he is improving.
Yeah, what happened? That was my question. Like, I mean, obviously, he was good to start with, but that was, to me, from a layman's perspective, again, not knowing the, you know, detail of technique and what's going on behind the scenes, it seemed to me like that was a little bit of a concern. Maybe he was playing high, I don't know, but I'm curious from your perspective.
I think every week, every day, every player evaluates himself, and every, you know, we evaluate players constantly. If you look throughout a career of any player, there are ups and downs, highs and lows. It's just how it is. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete, tremendous player, very smart, very dedicated, very serious. Things started clicking, and every week, we just had this discussion yesterday, every week he's gotten better and better and better, and he's becoming one of the elite tackles in the league. He's showing himself, he's performing that way, to where people take notice of what this guy's doing. Will he have bad plays? I think everybody has a play here or there, but he's growing, and I think he's growing more comfortable, as we said, to having different people next to him.
And then on Ryan Wendell, you know, you look at him, as a small guy myself, I appreciate that you can call a 300-pound guy small, you know, but he's got a little bit of, I guess, you know, a little bite to him, you know, like almost like a feisty guy. What have you grown to appreciate about him from the size standpoint that maybe isn't the prototype versus being around him every day and what you've seen on the field?
Well, he's a tremendous pro. He's very intelligent. He's got a mean streak. When he plays aggressive and nasty, he's tremendous. He's done a really good job of being patient, playing multiple spots. I mean, he's been played center for a number of years, and here he is now doing a really good job at guard. I think he has a calming effect on the whole group because of his knowledge and his demeanor. I can't say enough about it. I wouldn't say he's an overachiever, because he's a professional athlete. I think he's an achiever. You know, yeah, he's doing a job that he's committed himself to. He's passionate about. I love working with a guy because I really think his the way he thinks like a coach. He analyzes everything that happens like a coach. He's quick to come up with solutions. We have to be problem solvers out there. I think I have a good number of those in the room and all in the field. The problem solvers, the better. And I think his addition to things has been tremendous. You know, he's always been there, but he's having an impact. And I appreciate it.
How's the confidence level of the guys in the room changed over the last month, do you think?
I hope it's good. I mean, I hope they're feeling better about themselves. It's a process. We just keep working and pushing and pushing. We haven't really done anything spectacular yet. You're just doing a job, and that's what it's all about. And be able to do your job, give Tom time to throw the ball, give the backs time to do their magic. And thank you very much. It's just a matter of them feeling good that they did their job that day. I mean, again, I go back to every profession. You write an article, you write a blog, you put out a newscast, you want to believe that it's a good product, and they just want to go in every day and feel like they put on a good product, whether it be practice or games, and they keep working. I can't tell you how much I appreciate their efforts.
You mentioned with Nate in particular that he's kind of showing himself that he can, you know, play at a high level. Is there something to that for the group as a whole? The more weeks that go by, the team as a whole has a better performance. Do you think that adds up? And
I don't know. You can only control your own actions and try to work within the group, you know, in terms of how you affect others, how they affect you. But he does his job. He does it well. As he has more success, he'll continue to have, you know, the challenges will grow because people will want to take him on and beat that guy. You know, had the same experiences with Jake Long. Jake Long was playing at a high level. People wanted to put their best rusher on Jake Long. That guy won him. Well, you know, this guy, he's that and more. You know, he's really he's taking pride in his work, and I don't know that it's anything to do with the group or whether the group is feeding off of that, or it's just he's doing his job, others are doing their job, and together we're able to do just enough to get Tom the ability to throw the ball in the back.
Sorry if you may have gotten this question already, but Brian Storgan and the having guys like Dan Connolly and Ryan Wendell playing next to him, three centers on the inside of that line, how has that maybe helped Brian transition?
He relies on them right now because, you know, when it's standard looks, standard defenses, he's great with it, and even a lot of the complex looks, he's a great student of the game. But who wouldn't want to have two guys next to him that have been in the position for years and years? I would, you know. I mean, imagine being able to coach a line and having three line coaches standing there. You know, you don't miss a thing, or you can coach three times that much. And they're getting a lot of information passed, not just with Brian, but even with the tackles. There's a lot of communication going back and forth, and I think they're doing a tremendous job. They really are. I think it's helpful to him, but he's also a good pro, and he's developing his own way of communicating, his own style. But never hurts to have a resource next to you one way or another.
Josh McDaniels is very highly regarded around the league. I'm just curious what your impressions have been working with him.
Tremendous, smart, detailed. Has a great rhythm, a calm place. I really enjoy working with him, perform. I've nothing but positive things in my experience. I've been with some really good coordinators, Dan Henning, Kevin Gilbride, some guys of that caliber, and he's a tremendous defense coordinator. I've enjoyed my experience here, enjoyed my time working with these guys. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.